What's up?
Got Troy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
OG got Kamiko. Who we waiting for? Juice.
I got my people's coming up ASAP, so you just gotta invite her on.
Okay.
She should be in the room.
What's up?
Hey.
We're just waiting for one more person, and then we can start. How's everybody's Friday?
Sorry.
I'm trying not to down this wine fast. It's cold outside. I don't know.
It's cold up north, Shan, so, you know, we were getting this brick-ass weather.
Okay,
it's disrespectful outside.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to go through everybody can say who they are, where they're from, and if you have a pod, you could spit your pod. Just so we're familiar. Let's see, is this Juice? This is Juice. Got Juice Man coming in here. Let's see. Hey, Juice! I wonder if this thing is connected. All right, so this is the Real Relationship Report. Usually I do this show with just Dungeon as my co-host. And we do about 2 shows a month pertaining to relationship things. We wanted to do 2 panel shows for December to close out the year. So this is one of them. The other one would be on the 20th, I believe. If anybody here wants to come through for that, I know Kamiko's coming through for that. So she'll be there. Dungeon will be there. And so we would need 3 more people for that. But the whole point of the show is to give something about relationships that people can use. Not to downplay a man, not to downplay a woman. Everybody's coming out of here with solutions or learning something new. The topic is really simple. It's really based upon bad habits you want to break prior to anything. So I'm going to go around, starting with Kamiko, so she can tell us who she is, where she's from, and then we'll get an idea of where everybody's background is coming from. All right.
Well, hi, I'm Kamiko. I'm from Queens, New York. Not a regular podcaster, but I do show up every now and then to give my thoughts.
Yes. And that is my cousin in real
life. Hey, and in a real life.
Okay. OG.
OG, triple OG Dungeon from Dirty Jersey. You know, my the second half of the Real Relationship Report. I've been doing this, 4 years now?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is my normal verbal exercise twice a month that I do to come up here and curse people out. And I will be downplaying both male and female tonight. So, you know, don't worry about what I do. Shan's a good person, though.
Got you. So, Roy. Let's go.
Real quick, Dungeon, what part of Jersey are you from?
I currently live in Lyndhurst, but I'm originally from Hillside, right by Newark.
I'm Troy, but most people call me Average Joe, or Joe. I'm originally from South Jersey, but I live in Florida now. And I got like 5 New Joe show. Socially thoughtful, no fucks given. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Your thing was in and out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm fucking trying to get service at the airport, trying to leave now. All right, I'll start over. My name's Troy, but everybody calls me T, or my pod name is Joe. Like a couple different pods. Joe, Baby Daddy Chronicles, Socially Thoughtful, no fucks given. So,
got you.
You know, I'm around in these posh streets.
Can you hear me? ASAP.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I don't know if she can hear me.
Okay. First, thank you for having me. Shout outs to Triple OG. He's one of invited me on here. It's a pleasure. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you guys. I'm a Jersey girl. Born and raised in up north of New Jersey, Bergen County. I'm currently residing in Elmwood Park, but I'm going to Hackensack in like 2 weeks, closer to the city. But it's still cold. As far as podcasts, this is actually the first one that I've done. I have done some ghost, what I like to call ghost content creations. Mm-hmm. I got hired to do, you know, some content creating, content stuff for someone in Atlanta, but I kind of had to turn it down after like the first show because it just got too raunchy for me, and I was like, I got two kids, so it just wasn't for me. But then I had the pleasure of helping out and assisting, I don't know if you guys know Jose Reyes, who's about to be putting out his podcast. It's like more of like a Dominican baseball type of podcast, so they just kind of needed me to help out with, you know, creating the beginning steps of it, and then I just got really busy, so here I am.
Nice to meet you. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
What's going on? What's happening?
What's up?
Ain't no man. Listen, man. I go by Juice. From the Chilling with Juice podcast, Juice and Joe. Shannon's one of my most favorite people in the world. And it's a pleasure to be a part of the cast, if you will.
We glad to have you. So basically, everybody up here is from up top, okay? So I feel like up top people don't bullshit, and we can spot bullshit really fast. So I think this should be a good show. I think a lot of what's going to be said will be agreed with more than disagreed with. Some of us are single, some of us are in relationships, some of us are in the middle of whatever the hell that is. So, we all have past experiences, so we're just going to shoot the shit. I have about 10 points that I want to make on this topic. If you want to explain more on it, we can, before we go to the next one. And there will be people who are leaving messages in the audience. I will play the voicemails, every 5 voicemails that I see. I'll run through them, and then we can comment on those and keep it moving. We usually try to keep this at an hour, but because it's a lot of us, it might go a little over an hour. But that's cool, though, okay? If anybody needs to drop out, that's fine. Just let us know. But it should be a good show. All right. So the reason I picked this is because a lot of people think that it's their job in relationships to fix people or correct things that really is not their responsibility. It's more so an individual responsibility. So my point is, when it comes to bad habits, I think we should be focusing on, okay, I came out of this relationship, what do I need to fix before I get into another relationship? I think a lot of people do not focus on what they need to fix, and that's what I need to focus on. I picked up the wrong notes, so I'm going to go on mute and go to my desk. Somebody else can put their first point out, and I'll come back on here.
I'll manage the show while Shan's running to her desk. So we want the ladies to go first with this because we are chivalrous. So what other ladies in the room would like to express their points on, you know, bad habits that they should be breaking before joining a union with another partner?
Definitely one of the things that's an issue is serial monogamy. Before going into the next relationship, a lot of people just relationship hop without addressing it. And I think one thing that I've learned about the professional realm is that you even have an exit interview when you leave a job. What went wrong? What made you choose to leave this job? What were you not getting from that? I think people should do that with themselves. Not every relationship ends because it's toxic. Sometimes people outgrow each other, but reviewing why you chose that person, why the relationship ended, and what were your personal faults, because no one's perfect.
I agree.
That's a great point. But what about the people who are so defensive about talking about previous relationships? That's a new thing that's happening now, where a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to talk about my previous relationship. I don't want to talk about anything I did wrong. Just let me jump into this new shit. You fix me. You know, how do we handle those people that are, because there's a ton of them out here. People hate to do the work. So what about these people you're going to keep encountering that are like, hey, you know, I'm ready to go. And then you got to dig and find out that they're not ready to go.
See, that's where your own personal awareness and accountability comes in, recognizing those. We always think that we can fix people. That's a red flag for me. Someone who's not willing to address certain things, like there's not, you don't need to talk about your complete past relationship, but there are certain basic things that you need to discuss. Number one, why did it end? Why did you choose that person? And what did you see in that person that now you realize that that person wasn't for you? If that's an issue to talk about, red flag immediately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed. I would just like to piggyback off of what you said, which is a really great point. First and foremost, I would like to say, I wasn't really sure when I came on here what kind of bad habits you were talking about. I'm like, does she mean like maybe like forgetting to flush the toilet, like, you know, and then not a guy to move in? So I wasn't sure what kind of bad habits we were talking about. But, mm-hmm. You know, just to piggyback, I feel like a lot of times when a lot of people are dating, they jump in too quickly without really giving them that time to really reflect. Because yes, you could realize what went wrong, what you did wrong, or what you allowed that you shouldn't have maybe allowed, what barriers you allowed a person to break and not put your foot down, or whatever the case may be. But that also takes time. You can't realize that today and then it's like next week I'm going clubbing and I'm going to get like 8 dudes numbers and stuff like that. Like, you just can't, because it really does take time to heal. Because, you know, you come in with that big Santa Claus bag into the next relationship and you end up doing the same things over again if you don't, you know, fix that. And again, it takes time. So,
agreed.
Okay, Miko, that was a good one. All right, so my first bad habit would be not knowing your cons by now. I feel like we all have pros about ourselves and we all have cons about ourselves. But to come in to a new relationship and not be able to have a real conversation about the things you need to work on, the things that you're avoiding, and the things that are a part of your personality. Like for me, I'm stubborn. But if you're around me long enough or you talk to me long enough, you'll notice that. I am somebody that likes to keep super busy. Some people use being busy to avoid what they need to do. I use being super busy so I'm not bored doing just stupid shit. And so for me, I can't talk to someone who's allowing themselves to not do something useful with themselves, because what are we talking about? You know, if you don't have any drive or ambition to do something more than just go to work and eat and bullshit, I'm not somebody that wants to just go to work and eat and bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So when people say, you know, opposites attract, not for me, you know, maybe for other people, but I have to be around or communicate with people who have their own drive and have their own ambition so I can have something to bounce ideas off of. Cons are natural, they're human. And for somebody to talk to you and be like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me, I don't have any problem, anybody's problems with me has been their own, I think that's bullshit. So if you can't honestly have a conversation with somebody you're getting to know and them tell you what their cons are, then to me that would be like a red flag right there. That's a problem.
And there's red flags left and right in the dating scene now, because most people don't want to talk about themselves. If you could ask a simple, you don't have to do the what do you bring to the table question. You can just be like, you know, what do you think your biggest flaw is, and have you worked on it? Why are you asking me that? It's almost like, why are just so many people so scared to talk about themselves? You know, what do you do for a living? What, why are you trying to use me for money? No, I'm trying to make sure you're not homeless. Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't get why you're so scared to talk about yourself.
I feel like everybody, when they start dating, they act the same way they do when they go and apply for a job or go for that first interview, where they just act like they're super, super perfect or like overqualified for the job, where it's like no one wants to act like they have possibly some issues there. I mean, none of us are perfect. And I really noticed that. So it's like
I tell people, like, it really takes like 6 months to really get to know somebody. I'm dead ass. Like, I feel like it takes a good 6 months to really, 3 months you still really don't know that person, because, you know, people can hold themselves in for a pretty long time. But I think 6 months you start to really peel off some of that newbie, you know, new dating, what do they call it? The courting season. And then you start
to be a representative.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Shan, you know what I'm about to say about that 6 month shit, right?
What?
Because I'm not giving nobody 6 months of my time at this point. You're not getting 6 months of my life without me knowing like a decent amount about you. In my opinion, it don't even take 6 months for you to learn something about somebody. If you're asking the right questions, having the right conversations, you can learn a lot of stuff about people. They will out themselves in the first week.
Hey guys, thank you so much for checking out this podcast. This is one of many podcasts that I do. So when you support this podcast, you are supporting options that I can do with the other shows. If you're not aware, I have Cozy Womb Podcast. I have Creator Podcast. Loudmouth Stereo was discontinued, but the episodes are still up there if you want to listen. She Gets It Pod was discontinued, but the episodes are still up there if you want to listen. So What Pays Me on Bit is a book club podcast. We have The Real Relationship Report that I do with Dungeon on Stereo app bi-weekly. And then there is the one and only Wear It Right with Shan, which is my podcast where I talk about fashion and style. So when you support one, you support all. If you would like to donate to any of these shows, you can. The link is in the show notes, and I do appreciate it. It does give me other opportunities to do other things. And also, please support the website. Visit often, because there's a blog on there called Thick Grits and Pods, where I upload my thoughts and things that help podcasters and creators and just keeping us where we need to be in our minds and in life. ShanBePodden.com is the website. You can also find all of my books on that website and all of the shops to go ahead and purchase merch if you like wearing what you support. And I appreciate you. Now back to the show.
People's conversation game and level of intelligence at this point is so low that if you ask a few questions that get too deep, they'll just be like, you know, fuck this, I'm good.
they will automatically burn themselves out.
Exactly. This 6 month thing we done with, because nobody deserves to be getting that type of time and energy out of you without you knowing whether or not you should even be investing that time in them. 6 months is way too much time. And that's how you end up getting pregnant. You end up getting in an apartment with somebody you ain't supposed to have it, or a house, doing a bunch of shit, accounts and all that. 6 months is too much time. You need just enough time to not make those mistakes. Under a month. In my opinion,
I think 30 days will do it.
Yeah.
Getting to know somebody definitely relies on their maturity of what to ask. Like, you could get to know somebody in a short time period depending on what you're talking about. Like, if you're focusing on what's your favorite color, then of course, yeah, it'll probably take you six months to get to know somebody because you're asking dumb shit. But if you're at a point where you're just like, okay, squash all of that stuff, let me ask you the real things that matter so I know if this is a green light or a red light, then I feel like it's possible, but you definitely have to be able to gauge where a person is at.
What's your superpower? I don't give a damn. This is not a Marvel movie. This is real life. If we was making Marvel money, I wouldn't be worried about you at all, but we're not. We're out here making ghetto money, and you need to have a superpower of getting your ass up every day and being consistent.
Yeah, but I also have noticed women that have been very open from the very beginning, like, listen, I'm grown, you grown. I'm not perfect. These are some of the things that I'm still working on to this day. You know, I sometimes could be a little selfish, or, you know, sometimes I just want to be to myself and I need to just, you know, put my phone away and just want to be watching movies. You know, like, you know, you tell people what you feel your flaws are and, you know, they're like, it's okay, no worries, we can work through this. Until their flaws really start to come out, and then it's a problem. So it's like, I don't know. I've seen both ends of the spectrum, though. So, you know, I don't know if you guys ever witnessed anything like that. But
I don't mind that. Who's for you will stay. If you're being your authentic self and someone does not want that, that person's not for you. I would rather someone be turned off by my flaws than to stick around and feel like they can deal with something that they know they wouldn't accept if they didn't like my immediate representation. Because that's what they're attracted to, the mm-hmm. visual, you know, the superficial things. If I tell you the real deal and you say that you can handle it and you can't, I would rather them leave. Save us both the time.
True.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody has something on that before I go to the next one?
Going once.
I mean, just to throw this out there, if any of y'all watch that show, Pop My Balloon or Find Love, it's the perfect example of how people just be bullshitting around off of just looks, don't know nothing about nobody, and think it's going to work. But then watch the reunion episodes. When these people come back and be like, this motherfucker had a whole wife and kids somewhere. This motherfucker was like, you're like, yo. So, like, but clearly it's a show that's vaguely, it's just like swiping. She took swiping off the internet and brought it into real life. That's all it is. You get a guy to come in front of you, like you get a girl to come in front of you. Yeah, but it's a real life dating show.
Everybody's
now.
Like, read my bio before you message me. Nobody reads the goddamn bio. If you look good, they're going
to
just
read. Yeah, that's it. And who are you to try and make me read?
Never read. I'd rather do speed dating than pop the balloon, because at least with speed dating, they ask actual questions before you get to the person that actually has some type of substance. Pop the balloon, absolutely not.
But you know what's crazy? I've actually seen some people go on there and ask very good questions. Now, they may be getting lied to, which they probably are, because somebody's just like, you're hot. I'm going to just say whatever I need to say. But yeah, once the reunion comes, most people are like, oh, this person was cheating, this person had a whole girlfriend or boyfriend on the side, or we didn't work out. Because, first of all, half these people don't even live in the same state. People are doing too much for the internet now. That's all I got to say, because I don't even see how that show's supposed to be valuable to a real relationship. Besides it's entertaining. It's very entertaining.
Valuable. It's not supposed to be valuable. It's supposed to be a hookup show. That's it. That's all it's for. It's a hookup.
Right. They need to start asking hookup questions. She come in there and be like, how big is your dick? How long can you stay in bed? Is your vagina tight? Like, then ask her a question. Stop wasting our time with real life relationship shit. Don't ask him if you got a job.
It's an imitation of the apps. They're just putting it in real life. Like the situation where life imitates art, art imitates life. They're literally putting dating apps, like you said, in person. So there's nothing but superficial.
Nasty word.
To expect any depth from that, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah. Okay. My third one is I think people should observe people showing you who they are and you keep hope alive for something different. I feel like that is a situation where people want to play victim after they're already given the results repeatedly of who a person is, and you're just waiting around on like some blame game shit to see who's going to step out first so I could point fingers. But the reality is this person never lied to you about who they were. You were just excusing it. And so if you're going to excuse it, I feel like you can't complain about it, because there has to be like a limit to the BS to a certain point. So I feel like that's a bad habit where you wait around for someone to play in your face and then they make a move because you don't want to be the ones to leave, or you don't want to be the one that made a deciding factor of what you need to do. Because a lot of people, when it comes to, for example, checking phones, you shouldn't be checking a phone if you're not ready to do something different after you check the phone. You shouldn't be calling anyone that somebody else has contacted themselves if you're not ready to do something about the conversation after you call that person. So to me, it's just very redundant for you to violate people's privacy based upon something you know in your gut already. Why do you need proof?
I feel if you feel like you have to go through the phone, you should leave that relationship immediately, because that's a violation of space.
Exactly.
Actually,
like if you really feel the need to go through another grown person's phone, that means there's a reason why, or an inkling or insecurity on your part that needs to be addressed.
Right. I agree.
You go through my phone, you leave me immediately. See, no, I can't trust I'm with you. I can't trust you. No, I don't
for
like
real.
That.
What you going? What we going through phones for?
Yeah.
Yeah, going through phones is super whack, especially because it's like sometimes it's not even a situation where you're actually cheating. Like, you could have a friend, a homie that you're really like, it could be y'all work together or something, and maybe you guys have an inside joke about something that you can't talk about at work, but you know you're scoring on somebody, but it may have just came off differently, and maybe you have a different code or something in text, and they look at it and it's like, oh, well, what do you mean by that? What'd you text? We don't have time for all that. No,
I don't even care if you go through my family group chat. I don't want to be with you no more.
Right.
Absolutely. No, don't go through none of my group chats.
Because my family talks about people. I don't want nobody going through my phone. I have friends that actually will pose in lingerie like, I'm about to wear this for my man. What y'all think? I don't want you seeing that.
Oh, that's a fact. I'm definitely
Zoe, put me in that group chat.
The pre-lingerie friend. I'm
just like, put me in that group chat, Zoe.
Oh yeah. Okay. The next one that I have is not leaving enough time for yourself. I think when you have two ambitious people, or even if you're not ambitious, you just work a lot and you just need some downtime. I think it's very important for a person to know when you need to give your person downtime or you need downtime yourself, because consuming somebody so much to the point where you can't remember the last time you did that thing that you love to do, or you can't remember the last time you put time into your business, or you can't remember the last time you went to go visit your parents because you've been so consumed in this relationship or the wanting of a person, I think that's when you start being unbalanced. And I feel like everything needs balance. Financially, your life needs balance. Work, your life needs balance. Peace, your life needs balance. Sleep, your life needs balance. So why do you feel like you can be in a relationship with someone and not give them space? And if you give them space, when you give them space, it's just all of this overwhelming insecurity that you feel because you're giving this person space.
Been there.
I totally agree. I think there's an issue with you or your partner not being able to be alone. I think that in this culture, people think that love is based on how much time you spend with your partner. And I think it's more about the connection. And I'm going to throw this out there. I know everybody's tired of hearing it, but your love languages, what you need and what I need may not be the same thing. So understanding that and meeting each other in the middle, or God forbid, compromising. But if you rely on constant contact and constant needing to be underneath your partner, I think that might be an issue for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't be independent from your partner without feeling like you're missing something, I think that's an issue.
Yeah, I feel like they go. Oh, no, you guys go ahead. My bad.
That's a major red flag. You got to have your own life outside of me. And you can't be beating my phone down all day long. I need you to develop a hobby, a habit, crochet, work out. Like, give me an opportunity to miss you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a major thing. I love missing someone. I mean, whatever therapy term, whatever that shit mean. But if it was good when I miss you and then get to you, if you're always.
I didn't hear what you said. Last thing that you said.
I said, I need that opportunity to miss you, but I'll never get that if you're always under me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it gets even worse when somebody's, like, forcing it on you. You know, they're always telling you, oh, tell me you miss me. And, you know, it's just like, I want this to be authentically done. Just because you, like, you and your relationships, or if you need words of affirmation, your partner may not, and he may not do that all the time, or she may not do that. So don't think that they don't like you just because they don't tell you every 5 fucking minutes that they don't miss you. Like, you know, I'm at work, you're at work, you know, I'm not thinking about that right now. It doesn't mean I don't miss you. But also, like, when you're ODing on that, for me, that's a red flag, because that goes right in with looking through my phone. If you're obsessed with too much of one thing, you know, any type of addiction is not good. And I'm not into people who are like, I gotta be up under you all the time. When I get in a relationship, that same group of friends that hopefully you had when you started dating me, I want you to continue to hang out with them as I'm going to continue hang out with my friends. Maybe we all come together sometimes, but it cannot just be me and you 24/7. I'm not just cutting people off because a new person came into my life. That's a big red flag too. Cutting people off like just because you got a new person. Insane.
Okay.
I agree with that. In my relationship now, like I live with my partner and I tell her all the time, like, I need space. Like, I don't want to be bothered for like 2 days. Like, let me be. Like, I see you every day. Like, I want to just sit and do nothing and not have to worry about doing shit around the house.
Yeah. And why can't we normalize men needing to have alone mental time in silence? I don't know why it's such a problem where we can, that scene in society is he's cheating or he don't love me no more. Like, men are really that simple where we be like, yo, I just want to sit in silence in my own thoughts. I want to play this video game. I want to watch the game, and I don't want nobody bothering me. It does not mean that he does not love you and still want to have sex with you, all that stuff, or want to break up. Literally, we function that way sometimes.
Well, I'll say this. Because I'm the youngest and I'm the only girl and I have brothers, I've seen how they act in a space, in a home, what they want to do when they come home from school or work. And I've seen them put in the effort when they did want to talk to their girlfriends, right? So for me, in a relationship, I'm not bothered by the fact that it's been 5 hours and I haven't talked to the person I'm with, right? Because I understand that if a man is in work, he's in work. If I see my brothers working, they're not like on their phones while they're in cars. They're not picking up car parts or talking to their customers and they're like, okay, let me call this person. Let me chat on the phone with this person. I feel like having an experience of other people in your family before you get into relationships is like a training of how to treat people, especially when it's the opposite sex. So like if you have men that primarily grew up around their mom, their grandmothers, their sisters, I feel like they have a better understanding of women when they date because you've been around women, vice versa. So if you're like the only child or you've never been around men in a home or around men in your family, you might have to learn how a man works in your relationship, God forbid. And that might be a little bit of a tug of war sometimes because you're thinking, because I want to talk to you, because I want to be around you, you should feel the same way. But that doesn't necessarily mean this person is going to feel the same way. You have to give space to learn this person. But
like my girl is just boarded to go on a cruise for like 10 days and I can't tell you how excited I am to not just to have peace and not have to worry about, oh, take out the trash, oh, do this, do that, or oh, just come home, chill with my dogs in peace. Like when it's about to be the best 10 days of the year. I swear
I'm both
God,
on a vacation, like, right now.
That's crazy. Like,
I'm about to go home, play the game. I ain't got to worry about why this, why, I can't wait to get, oh my gosh, you have no idea. I'm so excited.
See, I grew up in a family where my dad was a gamer. So my stepmother let him have his moment. Like, I know not to bother him. He's on the game or he's doing this or he's doing that. Or even with my stepfather. There was set days of the week that my mom knew this guy is going out. He's going to go hang out with his friends. But he also prioritized her as well, where I'm going to hang out and do this with you. And then Friday, you already know, once I get off of work, I'm about to get my hair cut and I'm out with the boys and I'm going to holler at you tomorrow. Whenever I come in. That was just something that I knew. They always gave each other space. And I don't know if it's like they had similar personalities, but they wanted to be up under each other at some certain points. And then after that, they wanted to have their alone time. And they gave that to each other.
Yeah, like I legit had a conversation with my girl because I'm like, I work two jobs. I'm like, if you need me to do anything around the house, your best bet is to get me to do it Friday when I get home from work. Because you asking me on Sunday when I got to go back in and it's football. That's disrespectful. Why are you asking me to do shit on Sunday when you had all day Saturday and all day Friday to do shit? No, I'm not going to do it. Now you mad that I'm not doing it because you should have been asking me to do this shit 2 days ago.
On NFL Sunday. Diabolical. How dare you
work. Nasty word.
On an NFL Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, you asked me to do shit. Like, no. Like, you want me to go? You want me to... She got mad one time because she wanted me to go around the stores with her on a Sunday. I said, you got to be smoking crack. I'm not doing that. And I got to go work at 8 o'clock.
Immediately now.
That shit is out. That shit, ladies, y'all should know better than to bother us on Sundays from end of September until February.
All day Sunday.
We do not get bothered on Sundays. And most of y'all are confirmed at this point. Shan, we got some messages we got to run through.
I'm going to run through them.
What's going on, y'all? Men of Science. About 2 years. You need at least 2 years to get to know somebody. You got to go through something. You're not going to know anyone until you actually go through something. That's when you know somebody. When you go through it, you got to go through it. 2 years.
2 years, my lord.
Can we all agree, like, those are people that you said for don't got no time for family. So can we all agree those are for, like, those people that are definitely with, that's what I was saying, all that. And it's just, that just sounds crazy. Like, if you don't have those space or time for yourself, like, that's really crazy. Like, when you're in a relationship, you're supposed to allow yourself to have that type of stuff to do, stuff like that, like go see your family. If your woman's telling you that you can't go see your family and stuff like that, then hey, at the end of the day, she's a piece of shit. I'm like, you know what I mean? You gotta get rid of that bitch. But, you know, there are beta males, and that's just how that goes with that bullshit.
Well, the whole relationship thing is that, you know, we have the cell phones and people, they forgot how to converse. You know, you forgot to tell people what you don't like. Tell them. So they won't be blindsided. It sounds ridiculous, but you have to tell people what you don't like. And that's for starters.
Agreed.
I absolutely agree with both parties having their own independent things to do. I think it makes the relationship stronger.
Yes.
Agreed.
We should start treating relationships just like jobs. When you go on a job, you dress to impress. You tell the employer all of your qualifications. And then they still put you on a probationary period. And you have to perform every day. Where relationships fail is that someone's receiving and the other person stopped giving. If we all gave 100% every day, just like we do at our jobs, there wouldn't be a lack. A relationship is just an agreement. You know, when you talk about words of affirmation, you know, and constant attention and things of that nature, you have to consider the mother and father dynamic. And if that was a dysfunctional circumstance, the trauma that was associated with that and the inability to process that trauma into some sort of emotional intelligence could manifest itself in a relationship. So you may think your partner's bugging you and, you know, all in your business, but they're trying to rationalize their situation even in adulthood. You're just seeing the manifestation of that.
Can we all just agree that at the end of the day, like, your partner just don't give a fuck about your feelings. Like, it's like, it's supposed to be 50-50 about your feelings, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's more like 80-20 for us. And 80, they don't really care like that. Like, because it's like, whatever it is, you got to do whatever the fuck you say. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you something. Anytime there's a comment and it has to go left, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about guys and them having their man time, their alone time, if you will, I think it's a good rule of thumb. If a man is going out then always bring his woman back something. I don't care if it's her favorite candy bar or some flowers or a card or whatever. Whenever you go out, when you go out with the fellas, or you just take, you know, just take a drive, just want to clear your head. Because men are thinkers, but they're supposed to be. I think it's a good rule of thumb, just bring her back something.
I don't see anything wrong with that. But I wanted to go back to the point that you were talking about, where the dating experience is like a job interview. Because Shannon, we've had this conversation numerous times, and people love to deny that it is. And I'm like, how is it not? You're going with your dressed to impress, or you should be. You're supposed to explain how you will be beneficial to joining this company or this team, and what things you will bring to it to make it prosper in the future, and what abilities you have. Now, the reason why it's not a job interview to some of y'all is because you can't do that. You're worried about favorite colors, superpowers, and what ratchet TV show you watched last week. Now, if I went to an interview and talking about stupid shit like that, please understand that I know I'm only making $10 an hour and I'm going to be struggling with you and this broke-ass job. So that is one reason why a lot of people don't think that this is a job interview, is because they want to ask the stupid-ass questions that mean absolutely nothing. Don't even find out if it's a vibe. It's just like, you know, my brain can't function on that level. So I just want to talk about stupid shit. And then if I think you're attractive enough, I'll get you pregnant tonight and we'll move forward from there.
So I kind of wanted to touch on his last message where he said we should bring them back some every time we go. I disagree with that bullshit. No disrespect to the guy. I disagree 100% with that bullshit. Because number one, I'm a big person on reciprocation. And 9 times out of 10, you're not reciprocating that. And number two, I'm a big advocate of introduce you to a vibe that you can't maintain, and I can't maintain that shit. Like, I'm not going out with my boys and bring you back some flowers. Like, 9 out of 10, if I'm going out with my boys, I'm not thinking about you. Like, you was the last thing on my mind unless, like, something happened. Like, I'm enjoying my time with the fellas. I'm not thinking about, oh, do my girl want flowers. At that particular moment, fuck what she thinking. I don't care.
Yo, I'm not mad at it.
He's spitting right now.
I'm not mad at it.
Somebody throw him the ball again. He need to make another shot.
I disagree. I think I'm not going to yuck somebody else's yum, but I am used to that type of consideration, and I'm a thoughtful person. So that's something that I do. Like, if I'm going out with my girls, because I live in New York, so there's something always open. So if I'm going out to eat with my girls, I know that my ex likes strawberry cheesecake. If I'm going out to a restaurant or someplace that I know that he and I frequent or anything like that, I'm going to get him something to go. Because I would do that for someone else, and I'm pretty sure he would do that for me. If that's something that I can maintain. Maybe you can't maintain that, but everybody's different. So for me, that would give somebody a little gold star. No.
I can't maintain that. And I won't maintain it. Like, that's not something I would, like, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but, like, when I'm out with my boys, I'm not thinking about my girl because I got to come home and see you. Well, this is my time to decompress. Like, we at the wine room watching a Lakers game, I'm not thinking about, oh, let me get her a bite to eat. We got food at home. Like my parents said, we got food at home.
I think what he kind of mentioned at the beginning of his statement, which I agree with, is if it is reciprocated. If my girl does that to me all the time, then I'm going to make an actual effort to do that for her if I am with my boys. Because yeah. I know when I am out, whenever she's out, she always calls me like, babe, you need something? I'm with my girls, but we'll be back around 3. You want that sandwich you like from that spot? If she's that type of woman, then you're damn right I'm going to make the same effort when I'm out with the boys. See? Because she's going to kick my ass for coming home and being like, I always ask when I'm out, if you want something, you don't never. So I'm not going to have an argument. I will reciprocate what I receive. But if I'm not getting that, I ain't making effort. No.
This is the thing. When people think about giving people something or being considerate, I don't want people always to think about something tangible that they can be touched or they can buy. Sometimes all it takes is you're out and about, but you send a text to this person. Are you okay? Do you need anything? When I come back tonight, what do you want to do? Sometimes it's that. So they just don't feel like, oh, you was just so happy to just have like 4 hours away from me.
not to think about me, not to consider me. Sometimes for me, it doesn't have to be.
But I was, though.
It can be a thought, and I'm good.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. Everybody's different. You have to know if, like, are you dating a thinker? Are you dating somebody who only thinks you like them when you give them stuff? Are you dating?
But see, that goes back to what he was talking about, too, as far as family dynamics as well. I grew up around people who were that considerate, that if I go out somewhere, I'm going to text you, I'm going to hit you up to see if you need anything on my way back. Like, I grew up with my parents like that. My siblings were like that. Just to be considerate is something that's embedded into me. That's true. With my friends.
Yeah, I don't hit nobody when I'm out. I'm out. I'll see you later.
But you're single, Juice. Shut up.
Well, I listen. Unfortunately, I've done that my whole life, to be honest with you, for real. But I'm taking notes from y'all, and my next girlfriend, she's gonna be happy I listen to y'all.
And this is the thing too. Some people are not with the person that will reciprocate with them, and I think that alone is its own fucked up thing. Because I feel like if you really care about somebody, you don't have a problem reciprocating what you know they like, what you know they will be willing to do for you, like Miko said. But
well, that's my important questions to ask. Like from my experience, is seeing how the dynamic was between their friends, between their family members, and how they respond and are considerate to people who have been in their life and don't have the same title that they're seeking from me. Well, let me know early on this is not for me.
Yeah, and for me, I could tell even with my brothers. I know my brothers that never come to anybody's house or come to see you empty-handed. And I know my brothers who are willing to come late, empty-handed, and take shit with them when they leave. And I can see in their relationship who's going through more women than not. So, there's that.
Oh. Yeah, real quick, can I throw one in? Because I feel like, I don't know if this is coming on your list, but I feel like this needs to be a topic of discussion before this show ends. What? Matter of fact, throw one in real quick. Well, two things I got, but one right now is financial literacy on both sides.
Ooh.
I truly believe that after the amount of dating and living with women that I've done, when you find out that some of these people really be moving in with you because they are going to put the burden on you to manage everything financially.
They looking for a role.
They don't know what the fuck.
Oh my God.
Nah, but the whole thing is like, I'm not even saying on some, you dating and she was like, can I get this? You showing the money. She got a job. She just don't know how to manage that shit. And it's you don't care about paying bills or nothing. Nah, like it can go in the background. No, it can't. This is credit involved. This is our livelihood. We got to save. Like I'm telling you, I don't know. And maybe the ladies, you could kind of point out ways you could ask a woman or find out if a woman has financial literacy. Because the conversations is always going to sound good. But until you live with them and see that they'll be secretly paying bills for another family member or going out and buying shit and not having all the rent or going out and not having whatever bill they want to pay to get a dress or something stupid, and you be like, yo, I don't function that way, that shit is a major red flag and a turnoff for me, honestly.
I think you have to ask that question straight out. What's your financial literacy? How do you do your finances?
That's the problem. It ain't that simple. I do that. Like, I'll be like, yo, so when you live by yourself, how did you manage your own bills, blah, blah, blah. It's always going to be a good answer. Oh, first of the month, I make sure my shit's straight. I got my bills on automatic. But until you're living with them, and then you're like, oh, this is all a lie. And now it's too late. Credit going down the drain. You
can I have
everything.
The floor, please? I have the story.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Here we go. So everything you speaking on, I literally just went through maybe about like 4 months ago, right? Living with my girl, and I'm seeing how she managing her money, and she make like more than me. And I sat her down. I was like, why are you acting like you balling and you not? I'm like, we living together and you managing your money horribly. I was like, if you want a ring, that's not how to do it. I had to sit her down, show her like how much money's coming out, how much money's coming in, and actually budget it, because I'm like, you manage your money horribly, and that can't work. Now, luckily, she was able to be receptive of it. But I've dealt with women to where I tried to help them budget their money, and they took offense to it.
I would like to speak on behalf of those types of women, because I'm going to be very transparent with all of you. I was
tread lightly, Zoe. Tread lightly.
I was married very young, like, you know, straight out of college, and with someone a lot older than me. And, you know, he was wealthy, and I lived like a New Jersey housewife. And of course, I was not ready for it at all. I had no clue about being a wife, and I still wanted to hang out. And, you know, I ended up having kids back to back. So I didn't have to work. I didn't know what a PSE&G bill was. I didn't know about any of that. And after we got divorced 7 years later, and here I am now, I'm a real adult, and I have, my kids are getting older. I had to figure it out. And, you know, I would meet other men that had a lot of money, but it was nothing that was going to be long-term. And then when I found a man that treated me very well, and, you know, okay, he wasn't rich, but he did well for himself, and it was time to get serious. I'll be honest, he was like, yo, you are a beautiful girl. I love you. You know, you have a good job. You know, I was working for Land Rover selling cars. I made six figures, but I was never taught, you know, my parents are from the islands. They didn't know that my parents still be asking me for $20 and $50 every now and then. So it's like, no one taught me that. So, you know, this is a really good conversation, because I learned a lot, because I'm now at this stage where I'm like, I know how to make the money. I'm a hustler. I'll go get a second job, do three jobs, whatever I got to do. It's just managing that shit, because it's like the hair, the lashes, the, you know, and it's like, all right, let me just do my own. Like, that should be a whole podcast in itself with women, because I'm going to tell you right now, there are a lot of women that I know that are like that with me. Like, we'll make the money, but, like, you know, you want to go out to eat, you know, I'm not ordering just appetizers. You know, obviously I like fashion. I like to dress up. You know, you want to be trendy, staying with the trends. It's just so many things. Netflix, my Apple, apps on my phone, Amazon, everything just starts adding the fuck up. And it's just like, yo, how do I, like, I don't know. I would love to get some feedback on that. And hopefully me being transparent, you guys are probably, if you're experiencing this with a woman, like, I'm just at this point where I'm like, teach me. I have to figure this out. And I'm talking about detail. You can't just tell somebody, save your money. It doesn't work that way. It's like, okay, you save it, you put it aside, you try to stuff it in a shoebox, however you want to do it. But then what happens is you're still spending money, and you're like, damn, I'm going to have to dig into that box again. So it's like, this needs to be a real detailed conversation if you want to be with someone that doesn't really have that financial education, and you have to really be like, all right, let's take a look at this and really divulge. What are you buying? All right, you know, maybe you don't want to eat the sandwich that's $8.99 for the day. You want to go and freaking order Uber Eats, I don't know, a steak. So it's all those little things that add up that I'm still trying to focus on, you know? And it's like, being with someone that's like, all right, well, I'm sorry, I know I'll be spending a lot of money, I'll just go get a second job. It's like, yeah, but if you go get a second job, I'm not going to have enough time to spend with you. So it's like, why can't you just manage the money that you have now instead of trying to, you know, kill yourself just to be able to buy bullshit, you know? So that's just, that's where I'm at with it. So thank you.
Can I ask the room a question real quick? Go ahead. Because I was going to say, in theory, throughout life, between males and females, who is raised to learn that they have to sacrifice the most in life? And who is exact? So we come up when we get money, and it ain't go buy a new car. It ain't, you better be like, yo, you better learn how to budget, or these bitches ain't gonna fuck with you at all. So, like, we have to learn the budget so we can survive on our own. If we ain't got no woman to cook for us, we gotta learn how to cook. We gotta learn how to manage everything, and then manage it for a household, so we hopefully look beneficial and you know, available to a woman that is single and thinks that that's, you know, something that's going to be of value to her. Unfortunately, a lot of women don't. They actually are out here taking care of a lot of homeless motherfuckers and don't care about how much money they got, because, you know, it's a vibe and there's a lot of adventure and fun with that. But men who sacrifice and manage their finances can teach you how because that's what we were raised. A lot of us who were raised this way, not all of us, but some of us were, taught like, yo, you can't do whatever you want all the fucking time. The most we get to do is get that haircut every couple weeks to look good for y'all. And then it's paying bills. And if we have a job where we make commission or bonuses, we bust our ass to do that. So now we can have the flaunting money, take you out to a nice dinner, maybe have the nice car we want, or live in a nice safe area, which is all used most of the time to attract the female to us. So we come up that way and have taught about sacrifice. So we understand when it comes to paying bills, I don't get to spend this check every week. Half of this got to go here. Half of it got to go there. PSCG got to be paid. Rent got to be paid. I got to have clothes on my back. I got to have food in the refrigerator. But a lot of women are taught, hey, that motherfucker over there is supposed to be taking care of you. And on top of that, you deserve the world. You shouldn't have to do shit. You clean and you cook, right? Now, niggas is cleaning and cooking. So now what are we doing now? What's the situation?
I feel like if you talk to a person who's not a realist, then that's the problem right there. Because the reality is your parents or your grandparents had the setup that they had because that's what worked in that generation. This generation is very much, you need two jobs and then you need something on the side that's bringing in money. Because you already put the work in and that's residual. And then the money that you're getting in is not all for spending. Some of that money has to go for your life insurance. Some of that money has to go for priority bills, like your car insurance, your home insurance, the truck note, the rent, and then plan out buying clothes, plan out buying the groceries. You don't have to eat out all the time. This illusion that we need Netflix, Hulu, Stars. In your week, what is the reality that you have time to sit and watch shit? Because I talk to a lot of people who don't have time to watch TV.
I don't have time to watch TV.
And let alone, let's say you have your own business. When do you really have time to watch TV? And then if you think about it, it's not about, oh, you need a job with that's paying you six figures. I know people making six figures right now with a nice house and a standard vehicle, and they are still clamping their pockets because the more money you make, if you're not writing off most of the money you spend, you're paying that shit back in taxes. So really, it balances out itself. But gross-wise, it looks like, oh, you're living a life. Net-wise, you're not catching shit. So the reality is this woman willing to be a team with me and know, like, okay, if I'm going to work these two jobs, what are you going to do to help take something off of my plate? What are you going to compromise with on the places I can't show up with you because I have to work these two jobs? How are you going to take care of the people I want to take care of while I'm working these two jobs so I don't carry that burden? What are you going to do financially? Let's pick what bills I'm going to put money towards. Let's pick what bills you're going to put money towards. Maybe the three vacations you want to take next year is not real. Let's be real. Let's do maybe a staycation with the kids. Let's do this with the kids where we go visit family and we don't have to spend so much. Like, it's always compromised with this generation. The reality with people today is people are fucking selfish. People look at other people like, okay, what can I get out of them? What can they give me? Not what can I give. And I feel like if you're asking the right questions and you are self-aware, you'll be able to filter out those people.
And the biggest thing, oh, my bad, Kim. Go ahead. My bad.
No, I definitely agree. So that's one thing that's easily to spot for me. And it's simply about asking the questions and listening to the person's response and transparency in their finances. Number one, if they're not self-sufficient already, if they can't talk about credit, if they can't talk about savings, I would never move in with anybody. I've been able to maintain my own house, my own space without having to incorporate anybody in there. So if you're not going to make my living situation easier and I'm not doing that for you, there's no reason for us to combine finances or live together. If we don't have a plan, because my grandmother and my grandfather, I can go on their situation. They were not 50-50. My grandmother did have a job, but her job was to take care of certain bills, and my grandfather's job was to take care of the mortgage and certain bills. Her priority was the children. So if we're not doing a relationship where we're compensating and offsetting to make our entire life easier, there's no reason for us to be combining finances. Your stuff is over there, my stuff is over here, until we have that financial literacy conversation. There's no reason for you to merge. And if someone's not being forthcoming or honest about that, that's a no. That's something I learned about prior conversations. I dated someone and I found out they were like $70,000 in debt. What's going on? How did you get here?
They won't tell you till you look, sitting up in there and them bills start coming in that new apartment.
Like, see, I didn't even get there. We caught them breaks.
So I just want to throw out there two things. What Kimmy just said is very important, because shit gonna be different for us in this generation. Retirement's gonna be very different from what we saw our parents and grandparents go through. Yeah. I don't know if y'all understand this, but the amount of money we gonna have to retire is different. And it's gonna be a different situation contingent upon what this orange ass nigga does in the next few years about Social Security, which you can't survive off of in certain areas anyway.
Yeah.
And with your 401ks or pensions, pensions are damn near disintegrated. So if you literally are with somebody at this point who doesn't understand finances and saving, they're going to be help lead to your demise, because you cannot afford to have someone who doesn't think that it's smart to save for the future now, especially if you live in the Northeast. Another thing I want to add to that, I learned this because I went to a college called Montclair State University in New Jersey. Number 26 ranked college in the nation, by the way. And on top of that, the reason I learned that the important thing I learned is Montclair is a very affluent neighborhood, in which there's one specific area where Wendy Williams lived down. Yes, it is. Where Wendy Williams' crazy ass used to live until she got kicked out, where there are millionaires in millionaire houses. One thing you will notice about those millionaire houses is that there are no Ferraris, no Lambos, no Benzes, no BMWs or anything in their fucking driveways. And these houses cost more than most of our whole families got in the account together. Because these people understand, hey, look, my mortgage is already costing me how many tens of thousands a month. I can't afford a car note for Maybach Benz just to look cool for my friends. They have fucking Honda Accords in their driveway, RAV4 trucks. The F-150s, because they manage their finances, but they live in a million dollar home in a very nice area. They didn't force the issue and be like, well, I make $3 million a year, so I need to also have the Benz that goes with that. No, you're not an athlete. You're not a football player. You're not a rapper and a movie star where they got that extra income where it's like, I can have a $10 million home and $500 million worth of cars sitting around my driveway too. That's what, like, you have to talk, tell everybody, like,
those type
people.
Of people, those type of people like to brag about how much their house costs and how good of a deal they got on their vehicles, because they know that vehicles are depreciating assets. Obviously, there are some that aren't, but very few. Yeah, that's just, you're absolutely right. That's just how they roll. They don't give a damn about the
cost. And their brag to me is how they set their family up. You know what
yep,
I'm saying?
Like, which is smart.
My children won't have to buy a house, or my children won't have to pay their way through college. That's all set. Or we go on X, Y, and Z vacations, or I take care of my parents. When you get out of an individual mindset of how you're putting your family on, then you stop caring about what other people think about what you drive, what other people think about what you wear, what other people think about how much you go out, because none of that shit matters. I have to look at accounts all day and see how surgeons are 6 months behind on their home, 6 months behind on their cars, or people in the military thought they set up automatic payments and their policy is about to cancel because they don't have anybody paying attention to that stuff, but they have the money. They don't know what the money is doing. And when you don't know what your money is doing, you're at the results of what your money did not do. And so having a conversation about what your finances really look like is, to me, the most mature thing you should do. But a lot of people are not in relationships to be mature. A lot of people are in relationships so they could shut their family up about, you're not even dating, or when you gonna have a baby, or you're not talking to nobody. What you stop caring about if your family sees you at Thanksgiving or Christmas with a person, then you'll get your shit together. But if you're in relationships to lean on people so you don't have to be an adult, which is what most people are doing, you end up in a relationship of fucking bad habits because you don't want to adult.
That was part one. If you want to stick around for part two, it's coming up. Just hold on.